The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Well, good morning. My name is Minna, and for those of you who don't know me, it's on the front of the worship guide, so if you're wondering, how do you spell that? It's right there, and I was born in Europe and the Netherlands, came over to Canada when I was a child, and so of course I still have a Dutch name. It means little one. I'm just 6'1 and a half, 6'2. I'm the shortest boy in my family, okay? So my parents were prophets, they just didn't realize that at the time. And my tallest brother is 6'8". He can stand behind me and put his chin on top of my head, all right? So just to kind of give you an idea of how that works. I am, as Devin mentioned, one of the elders here at Summerside, and my family has been privileged and blessed to be a part of the Summerside family for about 3 years now. And one of the things that I want to say, you heard Devin say the introductions went a little long this morning, okay? That means I'm allowed to go long, okay, as well. All right, I just want to clear that up from the beginning. That gives me more time to speak and to be able to do that as well. So my wife and I moved, as I said, from overseas. We were serving as missionaries in Portugal. We bought a home here in London. We did not know anyone. We asked someone for a referral for a real estate agent, and they said, oh, you should live in Summerside. So we were like, oh, okay, that's close to the office. That works well. And so we looked at some different homes, and the plan was we were going to go visit some different churches. But during the summer, right, as you can see today, the attendance, either that or they looked on Facebook, Minna's speaking, I'm out of here, going to the beach today. Anyway, all right, but they, you know, during the summer, attendance is usually a little down. People go to their cottages, they go to the beach, they have other things, family plans, reunions, vacation. And so we said, well, we'll start at Summerside. It's close by, and we'll go there first. Well, we weren't here very long, and our sons actually announced to us that they were staying at Summerside no matter what Michelle and I did. And it was kind of interesting that first probably 6 months, because everywhere we went, no one really knew who we were, but everybody knew our boys because they were pretty active right away. And, oh, you must be Michelle and Drew and Caleb's parents. And then my wife went on staff in April of 2017 as the children's ministry director. And so then, of course, it was like, no one still knew who I did or who I was. And then I got that constant, oh, you must be Michelle's husband. And then, of course, Devin made the mistake of asking me to be an elder. Then he found out who I was. And now he's trying to, find out how he can get rid of me by asking me to speak. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true at all. But I appreciate that. And so I just want to just bow in a word of prayer real quick. And then we'll get started for today in Psalm 96. Heaven, Father, we just thank you so much for all that you have given to us. And Lord, we praise you for who you are. And Lord, we ask for your presence just in to be with us today. And Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we pray that you would help us just to learn another little part of what it means to be more like Jesus. And we ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I enjoy speaking. I enjoy being in front of people. That wasn't always the case, but I do enjoy it now. But one thing that scares me to death is what the worship team does. All right. Now, they lead in music and they play instruments. And you have to understand, from my perspective, I am not musical at all. They would call me rhythmically challenged, I think is the appropriate phrase. You know, some people, they're able to clap in church and sing. I can't do that. All right. I'm not able to keep. So, you know, people will look at me and they'll see that I'm singing and, you know, different things like that. And I'm not clapping. Well, that's because I can't do both simultaneously. Okay. Because if I try to clap and sing, when you clap, I pause. And when I clap, you pause. So it just doesn't work out well to kind of go from there. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, singing and different things like that. And I come from a big family. And as we talk about singing, I mean, Psalm 96 very much talks about singing a new song. And I actually have 20 nephews. All right. That's just nephews, not nieces. It's 20 nephews. And one of them this summer got a job working in Mississauga in a cemetery. And his job is they leave very early. He gets up at about 4 o'clock in the morning. They carpool all the way into Mississauga. And then his job, 8 hours a day, is to go around to the gravestones and gravesites and water the flowers. That's what he does all day long. So they tell him, it's boring, you're not with anyone, make sure you take an iPod, make sure you take, your phone, whatever it is, with some music, download some books, whatever you want, but it's all by yourself doing, all day, so make sure you have something with them. Well, my nephew was working, and he was, what most people do, they start singing along, and you're all by yourself, so nobody really cares, how you sound, which isn't my case, how it generally is, but I enjoy singing. And he realized that he was approaching kind of a group of people, and they were a distance away, but they were giving him funny looks. And he was, just kind of keep on doing his thing and kept on singing, and they kept giving him funny looks, and after about 30 seconds, he realized, maybe it's the song that I'm singing. And what he was singing was, "And Another One Bites the Dust." Probably not the most perfect song to sing when there's a funeral going on nearby. All right. So, of course, he was embarrassed and stopped and kind of looked at them and sorry, and kind of that. But as we look at Psalm 96 today, I want to talk about the songs that we sing. And not only we sing, but the nature sings and a number of different stories. So if you've got your Bibles or you can grab one in front of you in Psalm 96, page 595 there. And we want to go ahead and just read through this real quick and look at these. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant in everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And so the first thing as we want to look at, as we look at the first three verses, is that, and you could see in your worship God, that we want to call to worship and witness. All right, we have the call to worship and witness. All right, and I'm a former school teacher, 20 years. I was involved in Christian education in the United States, in Canada, and overseas. So, feel free to take notes. I drew blanks on purpose because I know that always helps me as a student and to be able to do those things as well. But, we look at this and we look at these first few verses and right away we're encouraged to sing a new song. Now, I know, amazingly enough, music occasionally is controversial. All right. And even in the church, it can be. And so, as we look at this idea of singing a new song to the Lord, sometimes it's good for us to sing a new song. All right. I know even for myself, I memorize very easily. All right. I was the person, when I was in my Christian school and had to memorize a verse, I could look at it 5 minutes beforehand and I could just repeat it 5 times and I've got it. All right, and then I could go and do my verse, either write it out or say it out loud, and I was fine. But other people, they struggle and they strain. And see, I do the same thing with songs. All right, now, if most of you are not familiar, I am a Christmas song person. All right, there is no good, there is never a time when a Christmas song is not appropriate. Drives my wife crazy. All right, because I'll have my phone on, you know, Bluetooth to the car, and we'll be going, and it'll be, you know, July and 35 degrees, and suddenly Jingle Bells comes on, and my wife is like, what is wrong with you, all right, to be able to do that. But I love Christmas music, and I've got so many of them memorized that you just sing one after another, and, you know, the amazing thing is you don't even have to think about it. And sometimes when we worship, we do the same thing. You know, we're singing along, but we're checking our phone. We're singing along, but we're looking around like, oh, who's here today? Ooh, I really like that outfit she's got on today. That's really great. You know, we're thinking that in our heads. All right? And we're not really paying attention. And when we sing a new song, we need to stop and we need to focus. And it really helps us. All right? Because it makes us realize, hey, I don't know this one. I need to see what the words are. And we really learn from that. And so we have this idea, and we sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. All right? And we want to do that. We want to proclaim your God story. All right? Now, if you are a Christian today, you have a God story. Now, you may think, oh, you know what? My story isn't very exciting. That doesn't matter. Nobody can argue with your God story, your testimony, as we, you know, sometimes call it. Now, for myself, I grew up on a dairy farm. I started milking cows on a regular basis. I drove the lawn tractor when I was 4 years old. I drove the big tractor when I was 8 years old. I was 12 years old the first time I drove through town on the tractor and stalled it at the traffic light and got everybody upset at me during the summer. All right. So that was a normal part of my life. All right, growing up at the farm. We milked 100 cows 3 times a day, shipped 6,000 liters of milk every other day. So I know all about that. And you know what? I enjoyed it, and I thought my future was farming. Honestly, when I was in high school, I was voted most likely to be a farmer. All right, by my classmates, the other 200 people in my graduating class. And then people, you know, they run into me now because obviously that's not what I'm doing. And they say, what happened? And I could tell you right out, God happened. See, God changed the trajectory of my life to this way in a radically different direction. All right. So the guy who could barely finish high school, all right, and was just trying to get through so he could, you know, do those things and get past. God radically changed, and I went from, you know, kind of D's, an occasional F in school, to doing my undergraduate to getting my master's, all right, and doing much better. And see, God was radically going to change you because, you know, and so I need to tell people, I need to proclaim God's story in my life. But if we continue on there in those first three verses of Psalm 96, we see in verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. See, we need to declare God's redemptive plan to other people. Not only, you know, our testimony, but we need to let people know what God's done for them. And of course, this psalm talks about that right here in verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. I'm involved with missions. All right. And that's one of the things we do. We served for 5 years, my family, working overseas in Portugal. And now I work for an organization. We have about 50, 55 people around the world. In about 12 or 13 countries, our parent organization in the U.S. has about 1,000 people scattered in more than 70 different countries. So we this is a part of something that we need to be involved with, locally, nationally, and internationally. All right, but we need to continue on in Psalm 96. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, and this is verses 4 through 6. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, we talk about God is worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. Now, you know, we talk about idolatry, right? Putting something in place of or above God. And it could be a person, it could be a thing, all right? But I love that word idolatry just because, I mean, I remember the realization. Idolatry literally, if you think about it, is, and you can divide it up, is when you give an idol a try. All right? That's what it is. It's you giving somebody else besides God a try to be king, to be supreme in your life. Whether that's a person, whether that's a thing, all right, that's the idea that goes along with it. And so we need to, you know, make sure we're careful with that. So number one, all right, under that is idolatry. But then we follow it right up, all right, in verse 5, for gods of the nations are idols. They're just things that people make. All right, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory in his sanctuary. And we have this contrast, right? And the idea here is in verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. It's like splendor and majesty are our subjects in his area. All right, they're like, you know, they're, he is so beyond, all right, that they're not just attributes of him, they're subject to him. All right, like you were the king or the queen, all right, and your little subjects, we call them children. No, I'm just kidding. All right, come before you, right? They're allowed to be in your presence. All right, and then we continue on. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. They're just there. Then I want you to think about the contrast that the Bible gives to us. Because here we have strength and splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. And then we turn over and we look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. All right. And we compare ourselves to God. And if we go to the next slide, it's actually listed out. All right. Oop, I didn't have it listed out. I thought I did. All right. But we have the next one. And it says, and I'll read it to you. All right, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags compared to God. All right, strength and glory and honor are there. But what we do, all our good things, even the good things that we do, are just like filthy rags. And then you compare them to God. You know what? And you realize, hey, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. All right, in comparison. So we've got that comparison of those different things. But then finally, we want to look at the rest of the chapter, verses 7 through 13. We want to talk about ways to worship and witness. All right, we want to talk about the ways to worship and witness. And so let's go ahead and read verses 7 through 10. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. All right. And I just want to pause there because we've got this word that we see three times, which is ascribe. Now, we don't usually use this word anymore, but the word ascribe means to give. All right. But it's not just give. It's an imperative. It's a command. All right. So give as a command to the Lord, all you families of nations. Give as a command the glory and strength he deserves. All right. And as a result of that, our first point under ways to worship is A, we need to give God everything he deserves because he rules the universe. We need to give it to him because he rules the universe. All right. And you know, as you look at verses 7 through 10 here, in verse 8, ascribe the Lord to the Lord the glory due his name. And I put up here on in your worship guide, all right, Exodus 20, verse 7. Now, we talked about Exodus for a number of times, Exodus, the book of Exodus. And in verse 20, of or chapter 20 is, anyone? Remember, I'm a teacher, right? So interactive is okay. Exodus chapter 20 is about what? Ten commandments. Very good. All right. And verse 7 is, because it's going to be talking about his name, is obviously do not misuse or abuse or take the name of the Lord in vain. All right. And so as we look at these different things, as you speak, all right, as you look at those different things, we want to contrast, all right, the way we sometimes take God. Is he just there? Like the genie in the bottle. All right. I was just on vacation a couple weeks ago. And I went out fishing. later in the evening after supper. All right. And I cast, and bang, largemouth bass hit it. I knew it. Bass pulled against. I pulled, fought it for about 10 minutes. The thing actually swam under a rock. I took my pole, put it upside down in the water, trying to get it out from underneath the rock. All right. I finally got it out. I lifted it up. All right. And I was like, this is a big fish. All right. And I was pretty excited. All right. Because I like to fish. I was pretty excited. And it got up closer and I saw it. I could put my fist in its mouth. That's how big this largemouth bass was. And just as I was bringing it up, it suddenly swam. And I was leaning forward over the side of the boat and it was swimming forward. And my rod clipped my glasses. Yep, you guessed it. Bloop. Right into the water. Now, it wouldn't have been so bad if they would have been these glasses that are about 4 years old. But no, those were the brand new ones that I just got 2 weeks ago. Now, did I pray to find them? Absolutely. And I actually went out the next day a couple of times with a pair of goggles trying to find them. All right. But here's what I want my point. I prayed to find those glasses. I didn't. Could I be upset with God? Because, God, if you really loved me, if you were my genie in the bottle, you'd grant me my wish of finding those glasses because I don't want to buy another pair. I'm a cheap Dutchman. I don't want to buy another pair. I didn't find them. Does that mean that God didn't love me, that God's plan is different? I think God teaches me something, doesn't he, in that. All right. Don't misuse. You know, God's not our genie in the bottle. He is God. And we need to reverence who he is. Well, the second part here, as we continue on in verses 7 through 10. All right. Worship the Lord. Verse 8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. And I want to contrast this, all right, to Hebrews 4, verse 16. You know, and it mentions there, bring an offering. When you bring your offering to the Lord, are you just kind of flippant with it? All right? Or are you sacrificially giving? All right? That's something I had to learn. All right? But we also want to look at the idea of Hebrews 4, verse 16, which talks about boldly approaching God's throne. All right? Boldly coming before him. And that's what it calls us to do here in verse 8 as well. Bring an offering and come into his courts. All right. We're allowed to approach God's throne with confidence. Why? Because God wants to hear us. All right. God wants to hear us. And he wants to know what's going on in our lives. And then as we continue on, all right. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. In verse 9. You know, and we do want to worship the Lord. And I'm thankful that we do that here. But then I love the way that verse reminds us that we need to tremble before him as well. Right? There's a humbleness in coming to before God. And I want to contrast this with Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. All right? Isaiah 6, verse 5. And if we go to the next slide, I know I've got this one up here. All right. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. See, if you go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah comes and has a vision and comes into the throne room of God. All right. And he is just overwhelmed by God's holiness. Now, as you study the Bible, we see over and over again angels appearing to people. And instantaneous, the reaction of people to angels is they want to fall down and worship. Because they're so brilliant and amazing. All right. But in Isaiah chapter 6, the angels that are worshiping before God and singing, all right, they're actually covering themselves up from God's holiness with some of their wings. And that's the idea here. We need to humble ourselves because we are just wretched people. And we get proud and look at what we did, but in comparison to God, we're nothing. All right? And the question is, well, you know, what, as we go on in this chapter of the Bible, we see that we need to give God everything he deserves because he rules the universe, but we also have the creation itself telling us. Look at verses 11 through 13. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. Now, if you're into theological terms, you have natural revelation and special revelation, how God reveals himself to us. And natural revelation is creation. All right. Just this morning, I was up early this morning. I actually drove to Port Huron this morning before the service and all the way back because my oldest son is a student in Chicago at Moody Bible Institute. And I had to take him and his friend to the train station in Port Huron. And on the way back, as I was traveling the 402 eastbound, of course, the sun starts to come up. All right. And most of you weren't awake for this, but it was fabulous. All right, because it was, you know, there's some mist coming up from the fields and, of course, the sun coming up and there's clouds. It was gorgeous. And so my question to you this morning, as you think about these things, because creation points us to God. When's the last time that you've taken a moment and allowed creation to speak to you about God? All right. As a kid, I was fascinated by nature, and I still am today. All right. Now, growing up on the farm had advantages, but I was a kid, put my rubber boots on, and then I went outside after it rained into the gravel and connected all of the mud puddles, right, so that the water would go through one to the other. All right. And then I'd get a little piece of wood or stick or something like that and put it inside so I could watch it float from one to the other and go all through. All right. But I was fascinated by that. All right, looking at the ants and seeing them. But when's the last time you've really paused and taken a moment for the sunset, for the sunrise, for the trees, for some animal to really reflect, wow, God, what an amazing thing. All right. Now, my wife is an ocean person. She loves the waves. She loves the lake. She loves the water. All right. And if you've ever been there, all right, it is relaxing. How many of you like going to the beach? All right, there are a few of you, okay? How many of you hate the beach because you can't stand sand? All right, there are a few of you. I understand that. All right, I understand that. All right, the rest of you think you're crazy, but that's okay. All right, but we love that. All right, but the ocean, if you've ever been on there, the lake, it can be dangerous as well. You know, we lived in North Carolina for a number of years, and I lived in Florida before that for while I was going to school, and if you're going through the middle of a hurricane, not so much fun. All right, not so much fun. But creation, its power, teaches us about God. All right. And then as we go to the end of verse 13, let all creation rejoice before the Lord. All right, pay attention to that witness of creation. Why? For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Now, if you were here in the opening service of this series with Devin, all right, he talked about, you know, the guy that has the tattoo that says, only God can judge me. And Devin said exactly what was right. God will. All right. They're trying to be ironic and facetious and say, hey, you don't judge me. Only God's allowed to judge me. But God has promised that he will come and judge. And we go to the next slide of Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13. One more, there we are. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. All right. The sea gave up the dead that were in them, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. All right. And what's that last part say? And each person was judged. And my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? As we reflect, all right, on what we've heard and what we've seen in Psalm 96, how is your worship and your witness? If you're a Christian, how's your worship and witness? Are you letting people know about God's story in your own life? All right? If you're not a Christian this morning, all right, God invites you to come. All right? He sent Jesus to this earth to die for your sins so that you could go to heaven with him. And so as we close this time, all right, we want to thank the Lord for what he's done for us, but we also want to listen to what he has for us. All right? How's your worship and your witness? What have you done for Christ? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we're so thankful for your word and for what you teach us. We thank you for the reminders. And Lord, as I was studying Psalm 96, I was once again overwhelmed by your goodness in my own life. And Lord, we know that you are a God in control. And Lord, we know that you are a God who wants to be with us and welcomes us in all things. And Father, we ask now that you would help us to be not only hearers of your word, but doers also. Lord, we love you. And we just thank you for all that you've done. In your son's name we pray. Amen.